For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's time to hear the truth, unfiltered. It's Sean Salisbury, unfiltered. He's played football, baseball, and basketball. He played pro football for 10 years, and he's been a broadcaster for 12 years. Now he takes it to the internet radio airwaves. Get ready for sports talk like you've never heard before. Now, here's Sean Salisbury.
Hey, welcome. Be here till 11 Central. Hope your Friday's a good day for you. A lot of football, what? Questions today. A ton of them. Some other stories that are out there. First of all, the debacle that is the Miami Dolphins. First of all, they interview a coach while they got another one under contract. Supposedly they didn't follow the Rooney Rule. Some say they did, some say they didn't. Supposedly, possibly interviewed Todd Bowles, but some say they didn't. Some say there was never a formal offer to Harbaugh. Some say there was. They're retaining Tony Sperano. That's the bottom line. He will stay the coach. Now, if you're Sperano, do you not feel abused and slapped in the face? And I know that it's a head coaching job you're still under, and you're not going to give it up. And you know, but basically, they did is drop their pants and peed right in your face. That's what they did. There's a reason, folks, why the Miami Dolphins are just a half-assed, middle-of-the-road football team and franchise. Are you kidding me? They walk right into the office. Rumors were some of the assistant coaches were cleaning out their offices. You got Sperano under contract while Harbaugh's visiting your football team. Now, actually, you mean you'll fire the guy before you interview somebody else? What kind of professional is that? Who does this stuff? Who does this stuff? What kind of professional is it? What kind of professional is it that has your head coach under contract, leaving him in limbo, and all of a sudden is interviewing Harbaugh, and the rumor is $7 to $8 million a year. There's also the rumor they never made him a formal offer. But somebody please tell me what kind of protocol the Miami Dolphins are following. This is why they're a horse's-ass football team. And we'll be again in 2011, Miami Dolphins fans. I'm sorry to tell you. Once again, we talk about continuity. Who does that to a head coach? Whether you like Sperano or not, or whether you want him in or out, who does that to a head coach? Walks another guy, that could be no more Bush League than any place on the planet. And then you turn around and keep him. You think Tony Sperano's, how could you be loyal to a franchise when they do that to you? Another question I have today, the Rooney Rule. Should we have to, and this has nothing to do with my feelings on either side, and I'll give those to you. Should you have to interview, if you own a team, should you, and not a lot of people talk about this. I don't know if they're afraid to touch it. I'm not afraid to touch it. It had nothing to do with race for me. I know the rule is based on minority interviews. I definitely think in NFL and college football there needs to be more minority opportunities. Now, you notice I didn't say minority hirings or you know, Caucasian hiring, whatever it is. I don't mean – I've always believed in hiring the best candidate. I don't damn well care if Linda Cohn decides to come away from ESPN and she's the best candidate to be my football coach. I'll hire her too. Point I'm making is, should an owner of a team be forced to – I think it's almost a reverse slap in the face to minorities. We do need more in the executive positions and coaching positions, qualified ones, whoever it is, white, black, Hawaii. I don't care what color your skin is or what race or religion you are or what gender you are for that matter. But should you, in the NFL, be able to tell Stephen Ross or Jerry Jones, who they have to interview. Because at times, don't you become a token interview? I mean, are you serious? Do you really think that when Jerry Jones interviewed, maybe it was Ray Sherman on his staff, he was thinking about hiring him? And if you're Ray Sherman or whoever you are, if you're Todd Bowles or whoever you are, that knows that they're courting a white coach and they come and are forced to interview you, I mean, what kind of slap in the face is that? If you're the minority, why would you even agree to the interview? Wouldn't you look at him and say, you're out of your damn mind? Not doing you a favor to come in here and interview so you can meet a standard? If I'm a candidate, fine. The Leslie Frazers, Tony Dungys of the world deserve to be head coaches. They've damn well earned it. But this rule, it's almost reeks of it's not sincere. It's the most insincere rule we have in sports. Do you really think that Stephen Ross was interested in Todd Bowles to be the head coach? Not that Todd's not qualified. Do you think that they really were going to go through the Rooney Rule? I mean, to go through it if they did interview him. Were the Dallas Cowboys really interested in any? I mean, give me a break. You made it blatant what was going on. And now you're going to fulfill a rule because we just got to make sure we do it so we're in compliance? Whatever happened to just, you know what? Or what has ever happened? Or why don't I just want to hire my best candidate? Color of skin shouldn't matter, good gracious. Whether it's the NFL, whether it's college, good gracious, we have black athletes, white athletes. I don't know why people are even afraid to touch this topic. You know what? Maybe the ones who are afraid to touch it are the ones who got race issues. Damn, I don't care what color your skin is. If you can get my team to win and get my players to respond, then I could care less if you have two heads. No pun intended. Or three, should I say. Do whatever you want. But I also don't believe that you should have to fake an interview to hire somebody. If Jerry Jones knew all along that he wanted Jason Garrett as his head coach for about 3 weeks ago, should he really have to interview somebody else? It's his damn football team. It's his damn team. What about the reverse part of it? Let's say Mike Tomlin leaves and you've had an African-American coach. Or when Tony Dungy left, you've had an African-American coach. Just throwing it out there. Should they have to interview a white guy if they want to hire another African-American? I don't think that's part of the rule. Somebody answer that at 888-346-9144. See, to me, if you grew up in sports and race is an issue with you, then you're out of your damn mind. If race is an issue with you, period, because that's the environment you grew up, whether you're white or black or grew up in a Mexican community like I did, it doesn't matter. That whatever you, however you were raised, but you know what? A lot of it comes, I don't want anybody blaming it on the environment. Maybe we can blame it on the parents for a while, but there comes a point in time when you as an adult have to take a little responsibility and accountability to recognize that skin color and gender means nothing when it comes to jobs or the way you approach your life. Ooh, your kid can't hang around somebody at school because they may not have the same background as you? Bullshit. It's the same with me. Growing up in any of us, any athlete that's ever grown up in sports, I've been fortunate enough to make it all the way up to pro sports, and you have a race issue in your locker room, something's not right. Either your parents need a slap in the head, you need a slap in the head, or whoever raised you needs a slap in the head, and you need to fix it. Pretty simple. You need to flat out fix it. Heck, you work out and you train and you win championships and you lose and you spend more time with your teammates than you do with your family. So how I don't understand the concept how you can have a race issue anyway, a race issue of a black quarterback or a white head coach or a mixed Norm Chow who's Hawaiian or Samoan offensive coordinator. Why any of that matters? I care about winning and relationships and building, making people better. So I could care less what color your skin is. I'm not trying to comply to any rule. I'm trying to hire who's best. And if I got 12 candidates and 9 of them are black and 2 of them are white and one comes from is Asian, I could care less. So I don't know if this rule, the Rooney Rule, while it's good, while there's no question minorities deserve it, but we're in a sport that African American and it's not minority. I don't know what minority is in sports anymore, to be honest with you. Nor do I care. Minority, majority, I could care less if there's 80% white and 20% black in baseball. I could care less if there's 80% black and 20% white in football. I could care less. I don't care. I don't care if you got 53 African Americans on your team or 27 white guys. It makes no difference to me. I'm peeping, but if I'm ever a coach, the 53 guys that I teach and coach are going to be the 53 best. The color of their skin will have nothing to do with it. So this Rooney Rule at 888-346-9144, how do you feel about it? I always wonder, and I'm behind the scenes and talking to, and I have, and I leave names out, but do minorities or African-American, do you ever feel like it's a slap in the face, that they feel like it's we're going to give them a courtesy interview? Damn, you're better than that. But does the opposite apply? If you've had an African-American coach for 15 years or 10 years or 12 years, do you have to hire or interview a white guy or an Asian coach? And is it a slap in the face? Is this really a good rule or is it a rule? And I know it makes you think, but if you're also the owner of a company or you're the owner of the Miami Dolphins, should you have to interview a white guy? Should you have to interview a black guy? The whole concept to me, I think it's unfair. They knew damn well that they were either going to hire Keith Sperano or hire Jim Harbaugh. And they have to, the Rooney Rule, and like I said, the Miami Dolphins are a cluster, you know what. That's what they are. And if I was Tony Sperano, I would dress them down. You got the job. You know what? They'd still have to pay if they fired you. You can't sit back and take that. And sit back and take that. There's been no more Bush League thing that's gone on in sports this year than what the Miami Dolphins just did. And I don't care if it was Harbaugh. Forget it. Heck, let the Italian stallion Tony Sperano stay. Good football coach. Bad football. Average football players. But when I go back to talking about building great franchises, folks, Miami Dolphins just answered mine. They just answered mine. Who does that? That's like being married and walking your girlfriend right in front of your wife and say, oh, by the way, I didn't tell you, I'm going to divorce you. This is my new girl. I'm courting her around to show her what the master bedroom looks like and to see if she likes the shower heads. Oh, never mind, a day later. You know what, never mind, I didn't like her anymore. Honey, you're still here. That's what that's like. You think everything's going well. You may have had a few fights with your wife or disagreements, a few arguments. Led Miami Dolphins some losses, thinking they're going to fire their coach, the rumors in the media. It's the same thing. But you think, okay, maybe I'm happily married, a few, you know. And then all of a sudden, bam. Oh, I got this girlfriend. Oh, honey, you didn't know? I'm going to divorce you. Let her to your excuse. Step aside. She wants to see if you got the proper shower stuff in here and if your window treatments are right. Oh, football coach Tony, hang on a second. Could you step out of your office for a second? We're going to show Jim what we're going to do with his new office when he's here. Then the next day, Tony, well, we made a mistake. Come on back, dude. He put your picture frame in the place that you wanted it. We're sorry. Miami Dolphins are a bunch of buffoons. They got as much chance to make the playoffs next year as I got as much chance as coming back and quarterbacking those buffoons to lead them to the playoffs. Hell, no wonder Harbaugh. I wouldn't have taken it either. And if you're Tony Sperano and somebody else offered you a head coaching job like Michigan or Pitt, I'd have left in a second. Because guess what? With the team they have, Tony Sperano he'll be out on his ass next year. All this does is giving him an extra year to ride along with it. What a Bush League decision, and the way that the Miami Dolphins went about it. So we'll talk Dolphins. We'll talk Jim Harbaugh. Now it's down. Is he going? You know what? One thing we haven't discussed, we'll talk Andrew Luck. You know, people are going to – I see people beating him up a little bit for not leaving. How can you hate the kid for not leaving school? Do we sit there and think 50 to 60 million bucks, whatever it's going to be, would it have been great for him to go the first pick of the draft? Does your stock ever get any higher? 12-1, going to finish in the top 5 in the country, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? It's his decision. He wants to go back to college. Most of us would love to go back to college for a year, wouldn't we? For a lot of different reasons. Maybe he turns out like Jake Locker and his draft stock plummets. Maybe he turns out like Sam Bradford, and he and regard Bradford played what, a couple games last year or 2 years ago, whenever in 2009, and bam, first pick of the draft. It turns out like Leinart is a tweener. Was going to be a top three pick or so, falls 9 or 10 slots. Which one is he going to be? I don't know which one he's going to be. Or Tim Tebow, you know. Maybe Tebow wouldn't have been a first-round draft pick had he come out the year before, stays around, ends up getting a first-round draft pick, and will probably be the starter for them next year in Denver. Congratulations to Andrew Luck. Love the kid for making the decision. And maybe emotionally, as good as he is, maybe he's just not emotionally to go deal with the NFL nonsense. All you got to do is look at the Miami Dolphins and realize, damn, I don't blame him for staying in school. Or maybe he didn't want to go play for the Carolina Panthers, folks. Maybe he didn't want to go play for that team and realize that, oh my gosh, I'm going to get my brains beat in. We're not going to be any good. Maybe he didn't want to do that. So what? It's his decision. Whether it was a right or wrong decision, we'll see. But you know what? Even if he doesn't go as the first pick of the draft, for him it was the right decision. He's basically saying, regardless of what happens down the road, I made a decision based on what me and my family want, and I think that's great. We're going to talk more about that. The Rooney Rule. I mean, do you force a guy to interview somebody that he's not seriously considering? It's almost a slap in the face. We'll talk more Harbaugh. Got a lot of football, breaking down some playoff games. Got a lot going on. Crazy crap. The Miami Dolphins couldn't be more Bush League. Couldn't be more Bush League than the way they handle this. Voice America Sports, we're unfiltered. I'm Sean Salisbury.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at
tough
the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything. Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
The IS Outdoors Talk Radio Show brings two well-known outdoorsmen to the Voice America Network. We talk about everything from new sporting gear, places to hunt and fish, and how to get more from your recreation time. Join hosts Brock Ray and Don Kirk with their combined experience of 60 years in the woods. Brock and Don have traveled widely, creating TV shows and writing articles on hunting and fishing. Blessed with down-home humor, they're also well-versed in environmental concerns, firearms ownership, and animal rights issues. Tune in every Thursday morning at 6 a.m. Pacific Time to IS Outdoors with Brock Ray and Don Kirk, right here on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Are you ready to talk football with the greatest wide receiver player and coach in NFL history? Tune in to Wide Open with Andre Rison. Andre is ready to talk to you and give his thoughts on the sport. There'll be celebrity guests, coaches, players, artists, and more. He'll go beyond the game with a look from the coach's point of view and feature a high school player each week. Tune in to Wide Open with host Andre Rison, featured Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams. Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you. Every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You're locked in to Sean Salisbury, unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to seansals@gmail.com. That's SEANSALS @gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
All right, topics on the table for us to talk about, and you can talk about whatever you want. You know this show. Go wherever you want. The Dolphins, no bigger Bush League to approach to hiring a coach. How awful are they? How would Tony Sperano feel? The Rooney Rule we're talking about, is it really? I think the purpose of the law is right, but I think the way it's gone about is wrong. Okay, I think it's wrong, and I think it's almost a slap in the face. And we're going to get to one of my friends who's African American. I'm going to ask him in a second. D-Man will answer how he feels. To me, you hire the best candidate regardless of color of their skin. I don't care what background they come from. If they can win games and get my players to respond, that's what I care about. Minnesota Vikings. Supposedly going to hire Mike Singletary, or trying to meet with Mike Singletary to hire him as linebacker coach, and Josh McDaniels to be their offensive coordinator. Two former head coaches, recently fired. Is it a good move? Will there be too much of a power struggle on that team? Remember now, Singletary and Leslie Frazier, former teammates in Chicago. Andrew Luck staying in school. Good for him. Whether you think it's the right or wrong decision, let me know. And why? The biggest thing is, and where does Jim Harbaugh end up? If he stays in San Francisco, folks, he does not have to move from Palo Alto. It's right up the interstate. You don't have to move. And I know why you don't think that's a big deal. A lot of times it is at this stage in people's lives. He doesn't have to move one ounce. Can coach the 49ers and live where he lives. Let's get out to D-Man in Arizona. D-Man, Happy New Year to you, my man. How are you?
Happy New Year, my man. What's going on in your life, my brother? Good. I can't complain. Can't complain, my man.
Let's start out with you. You're African American. You're a friend. You love sports. You follow it. We both agree, I think, and I'll let you answer this, that the best candidate should be hired. Does the Rooney Rule make a difference, or no one? I mean, is it a royal embarrassment? And as an African American yourself, do you feel the rule works?
I'm going to say this: if you take a look at where we were, and now take a look at where we're at, the rule makes a difference.
That's the point, D-Man, that I was making, that the reason for the rule is good, because 15 years ago, and it's still in college football, we border on embarrassment in our hiring of minorities. There had no question about it. I mean, would it take forever until finally Sly Croom was hired at Mississippi State, the first African-American head coach in the SEC? When I saw somebody broke down the percentage of African-American players in the SEC was extreme. Percentage was well over 50%, so high. So why in the world would we wait that long to hire an African-American coach? To me, I don't understand. So that's why I need somebody who may have a better perspective on it. And growing up in sports, I don't understand he's a black quarterback. He's white. It doesn't matter. I don't understand that. I mean, good gracious, if a female's the best coach, I'll hire her ass if that's what it takes.
Right.
But you're right. Where it was to where it's come from is one thing. It is definitely an improvement. But do you think it's actually, at times, can be a major slap in the face?
I think it's going to be really dependent upon the individual candidate himself. It's the way he approaches it. Now, here's the deal. The problem is this. If you're in Minnesota and you're saying, okay, Minnesota can go ahead and hire Leslie Frazier, who happens to be an African-American, but shouldn't they have to also interview another African-American or other candidates? It can't be so one-sided. I think it's like this. The bottom line is this: you want to give everybody an equal opportunity to coach in the NFL, to earn a living, and to do what he dreams and always wanted to do.
Agreed.
And what he loves to do. But here's the deal: the Dallas Cowboys are going to hire Jarrett anyways. That's the deal. Now, should they have to be forced to interview an African American? I'm going to say this: giving an African American the opportunity to go through the process, I think, is what the NFL is trying to do.
It's a legitimate process for me. If you're going to bring him in and you're going to ask him the same questions and go through the same routine as you did when you turned around and rehired Jason Garrett, I'm all for it. Because you know what? To have on your resume, like Leslie Frazier did, you know, he's interviewed like seven or so times before he finally got the job with the Vikings as the head. You know, the last couple of years, Leslie's interviewed. And I know Tony Dungy had went through the process. I love the reasoning of the Rooney Rule. I just think it's Bush League. For instance, a team like Miami, You know, you go out there and you bring a guy in while you already got a coach on staff, and then all of a sudden, oh, that's right. We've got to interview an African-American, so let's just throw him up in the office and fulfill the rule. To me, that's as racist as it gets.
Well, here's the problem with that. The problem is that if you're going to hire a coach, I personally believe it's this. If you're going to hire a coach or interview a coach, then you probably shouldn't have a coach on staff.
Thank you.
To do something like that, now that is Bush League. Now, if you're calling me up, if the NFL's calling me up and saying, hey, listen, we want to interview you for the Miami Dolphin head coaching job, I'm going to say I pass because you have a coach. All right, there's no reason to go through that process. That process is going to do nothing for you. It's more heartache than anything else. What are you getting my hopes up for? I don't need to go through a process with a team that already has a coach.
Thank you.
Are we training? Is this a training period? What is this?
Right. And the truth is, they shouldn't even forget the Rooney Rule. They shouldn't have even had Harbaugh on at the complex.
Yeah,
if you got Tony Sperano under, this had nothing to do with race. If you have Tony Sperano under contract, you're Bush League enough to bring another coach in before you fired one.
Yeah, that's common sense. And right there, I mean, it's I don't know. It's just like dating a young lady that you know is married, and then how are you ever going to trust her? So how is the head coach of the Miami Dolphins ever going to look at this organization in a light that he has any kind of security for him, his family, and his other assistant coaches? There is no security there. So you have got to sever that relationship now. Because what is he going to do? He already knows he's a lame duck.
No question about it.
It's like you might as well give him Donovan McNabb and let Donovan McNabb play quarterback for you, because the two of them make no sense. At some point in time, you know, I have a set of balls on me, and I'm glad this is unfiltered. But at some point in time, you got to grab your nutsack and say, hey, listen, buddy, I'm the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. If you don't want me to be the head coach of the Miami Dolphins, then you need to fire me right now. And if, I mean, you're talking about breaking a contract. I mean, I got a contract that says I'm coaching this team. You're out interviewing other coaches for my position, and you haven't even told me. That's like, Donovan, I'm going to bring this guy off the bench, and by the way, you're going to find out in the media. I'm not even going to tell you. How do you sit there and take that shit? I mean, I don't care how much money you're paying me, but you're not going to take my dignity from me. You're not going to rip me in front of the world. See, you can do that here in a little old store in little old Phoenix, Arizona, where nobody knows.
And yeah, but you know what?
Your leg and walk away.
D-Man, whether it's you in your life, whether it's Tony Sperano, to me, the one thing about it is, if I was Sperano, I'd have walked in the office and say, you know what, how Bush League are you guys? And if you want to fire me, fire me. You're still paying me all my salary. That's life, my friends. But you know what? If they go 9-7 next year, Stephen Ross will be interviewing people in the midway point of the season. I mean, there is no trust. And then people want to know why athletes and coaches up and leave a university or somewhere else, I'll leave it to the NFL in this case, or leave their coaching ranks and go get some more money somewhere else. Because the Stephen Rosses and the Miami Dolphins of the world go about it in a Bush League fashion like this. Can you imagine? Well, can you imagine what Bill Parcells, who's been a part of that franchise and obviously took a step aside at the end of the year, near the end of the year, can you imagine if Parcells would have been in Sperano's position in its past, like with the Giants or Patriots, and they'd have brought in a guy to interview while he was still on? And yet the irony of it is the very guys he put in place for the Miami Dolphins are the ones who are just pissing right on Tony Sperano's face.
No, that would have never happened. It's like, you're not going to do that to Mike Ditka. I mean, the bottom line is this. I mean, you look at these owners, and that's what, you know, here's the poll for your show. And I would put this out, and I wanted to talk to you about this. You know, you see what Goodell, Commissioner Goodell has done, and he wrote this letter to the media and posted it all over, talking to letting us know about what the stance the NFL owners are taking and about this collective bargaining agreement. It's like the guy is negotiating through the media, through the fans, and it's like, you know what? That's none of our freaking business. You need to handle your business between these players and you. It's not between the players and the fans and the owners and the fans.
Yeah,
because
you know,
I think the fans are going to side with the players in the first place. They're freaking underpaid. You know, they put their livelihood on the line. These cats can get crippled. This ain't baseball, folks. This is football. there's going to be some pain involved. And we see the vicious hit that happens every day. So for the commissioner to come out and send a letter out talking about, here's the owner's stance. I know what the owner's stance is. I see it every year. You guys don't give a damn about the players. You don't give a damn about nobody but your pocketbook. And you can't tell me you're not making money. They're making freaking money, and they're trying to act like they're not making money. We need these players to take a pay cut. Why? Because everybody else took a pay cut? Because it's a recession?
Yeah, exactly.
Why do the players need to take a pay cut? Because these owners aren't taking a pay cut. They can do whatever they want to do, when they want to do it, and it's okay. You let a player sit there and say, listen, I'm not playing for the money that you're playing me. Chris Johnson in Tennessee, they wore him out. Oh, but he signed the contract. Well, didn't the head coach of the Miami Dolphins sign the contract? And also,
you're allowed to interview another guy while you got him under contract? Let me tell you this, D-Man. Chris Johnson will be out of the league in about 7 years with the punishment he's taken. His window will be real short, as good as he is. You know that. I mean, they're going to beat him. They're going to beat his brains in. And then they're going to say, oh, but you signed a contract. Well, you know what? And think about the TV money. You're talking about the owners aren't making money, you know, with this revenue sharing. You don't mind the ESPN's about to extend the contract on Monday Night Football to 2024. Do you know what they're going to be paying? $2 billion a year.
Yeah, that's not money. That's not money. I mean, what in the world?
$2 billion a year, and you're going to start making money? It's a crock. They're making big money. Huge money.
Yeah. It's just flat out insane how they try to act like they're well, we really care about the players. And don't get me on this tangent because I'm telling you, I'll go off for days. They don't care. They care about money, and it's all about money.
They
this
care about it. When you're not any good to them anymore, D-Man, if they say they'll cut you off like that. It's all about the money. If you're a player, there's no loyalty. They're not keeping anybody. There were some old school coaches like Chuck Knox that I played for and Jerry Burns that may keep a guy around an extra year instead of a mid-round rookie draft pick because he liked him, and that was old school. Not anymore. That doesn't exist anymore. Heck, you could have an assistant coach with you. It's your best friend. You'll fire him. You could have a player that's been a great player for 3 years and all of a sudden wants more money. They'll get rid of him.
Yeah.
As long as it's making money for them, it's all good.
Look what they did to Vincent Jackson in San Diego.
Of course.
Give me a break.
Of course.
Give me a break.
Yep.
Hey, let's talk about Andrew Luck real quick because this whole thing with Andrew Luck blew me away.
Me too.
It absolutely blew me away. And you brought it up and you said, hey, listen, if the kid wants to stay in school, God bless him. I agree. But here's the deal. Carolina Panthers had this in their hands. They could have had this kid. Because the bottom line is Jim Harbaugh loves running the football. You got two running backs in Carolina Panthers that can run the football, okay? All they got to do is rebuild that offensive line. If they would have even talked to Harbaugh, you think Andrew Luck would not have come out?
Because if I hire
Harbaugh and Harbaugh goes back to Andrew and says, dude, you're my first pick in the draft, now you keep those two together.
See, I said when everybody was talking about the 49ers and the Dolphins and staying, you know, going to Michigan, well, I don't know if it was last week I said it on this show. I can't remember, D-Man, or maybe the week before. My number one thing was, before I said, you know what they should do? Carolina should make him an offer he can't refuse.
Yes,
then you guarantee yourself two things. Pay him the $8 or $9 million or whatever, make him the highest paid coach. Allow him to have say in decisions on personnel. What you've done is guaranteed two things. Now what Carolina's done is they've screwed themselves. They're not going to get there's no quarterback worthy of the first pick, and they got no quarterback on their roster that's worthy of playing and starting in the NFL. So now they may have to go out and pay a veteran or try to trade for somebody when you could have gone out and got Harbaugh because you knew you were going to fire John Fox. You could have got Harbaugh, and that would have insured your first pick. It would have been the best package deal on the planet for Carolina. You'd have got your franchise quarterback, your franchise head coach. You already got a good running game. You're actually not really that far off defensively. And if you, you know, go out and get some perimeter people in the draft, right then and there, you're done. You've completely improved your football team by making sure. And you would have guaranteed that Andrew Luck, you know what? I got Andrew Luck, you know, he wants to come back to graduate. That degree would have been on hold if Harbaugh would have taken it. If Carolina would have offered him a job.
Exactly. And that's like, what are you thinking? How do they not see that? It's just crazy to me. It's just almost like Maryland not hiring your boy Mike Leach. What are they thinking?
Well, apparently Maryland and Carolina, too close together, been on the same page and talking to each other, saying, well, we'll make some really stupid decisions. And you know what? I don't even know what Carolina's doing in their hiring process. Do you?
No.
I don't hear anything. What are they going to do? Wait till everybody's gone? Or are they sneaky trying to get Bill Cowher for $9 million? I don't know what they're doing. But what they did by not stepping their game up is allowing Andrew Luck to make the decision to say, you know, screw it, I'm staying in school.
Exactly. And no one's going to go. You're not going to get Cowher to go there without a quarterback. He's not going there.
Would you if you were Cowher? Heck no.
No. He's not going to go there.
They had it all
sitting in front of them. The plate was full, and they just refused to eat. And to me, it doesn't make any kind of sense. And I'm not in the business, so you know I can't sit there and judge some GM. But I'll tell you this. That makes no sense.
Very, very dumb. And now that you see, if you're them, aren't you taking a step back and saying, oh,
now what?
Oh my gosh, we just blew it. What do we do now? We're gonna trade for Blaine. I mean, we're gonna draft Blaine Gabbert first. Okay, you're gonna go get DaQuan Bowers, a defensive end. There's no quarterback worthy of the first 5 to 10 picks.
No,
we're on the same page with the Rooney Rule. We're on the same page with the Luck situation, and we're sure as heck on the same page how Bush League the Miami Dolphins are.
Yeah, that's crazy. That is absolutely insane. But that's great for the NFL this year.
No doubt about it. Hey, great insight, great takes, my man. And hey, call in Monday. I forgot it was a Monday night game, so I don't have to break down the national title game until Monday. So call in Monday. We'll break this Oregon and Auburn game down, and you have an awesome, awesome weekend. Any big upsets real quick in the weekend?
Well, I'm going to tell you this. I'm kind of leaning towards the Packers. I'm thinking the Packers are going to go into Philly and take out Philly.
Like your style, my man. Packers were my preseason Super Bowl pick. Have a great weekend, bud. Tell your girl I said hello.
All right, buddy. Be good.
Thanks. That's my man, D-Man, one of the greats. Great take on the Rooney Rule. I'm Sean Salisbury. We'll come back and talk more sports. If you're at anywhere where it's icy or snowing or raining, be careful driving. Head into a good weekend. Remember, you got loved ones that care. We'll be right back.
Your internet flagship station for sports. Voice America Sports.
The Sports Mavericks Show redefines the elite athlete by bridging the gap between parents, athletes, and the community. Host Ida Moyet, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, brings to the Voice America Network original programming, balancing the pursuit of academic excellence and sports participation. The Sports Mavericks Show airs every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. Listeners will be engaged in straightforward talk, spontaneous and unscripted, by the experts. Ida and her guests will explore the challenges of success and failure in sports and will help athletes and their parents navigate the transition from high school, college, and then on to the pros. We put fun back into sports and recognize role models in sports through our Sports Mavericks All-Star Award program. Tune in Tuesday evenings at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with Ida Moyet and the Sports Mavericks Show right here on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Don't miss the show that gives you exclusive access to your favorite pro athletes off the field and in our communities. Join host Nick Murphy for Heroes Radio. Hear it directly from the source as we take you behind the scenes with your favorite stars. It's sports, community, entertainment, and fun. And it's all part of Heroes Radio. Tune in Friday afternoons at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific, only on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at
tough
the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything. Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury, unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. or send an email to SeanSalls@gmail.com. That's SeanSalls@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Oh, boy, this show goes fast. Great call by D-Man, talking about the Rooney Rule, talking about how Bush League the Miami Dolphins are for the way they've handled everything concerning Tony Sperano and the whole thing. If you want him out, you get him out. If you want him in, you get him in. But you do not, protocol, you do not ever, ever have your head coach sitting in an office while you bring another coach in the talks. You're going to offer him $8 million a year? Are you kidding me? So they're Bush League. We know that. No wonder their organization ain't very good. And Tony Sperano, what kind of trust do you have for that organization now? Andrew Luck staying in school. Does the Rooney Rule work? I think the letter of it does. But it also can be a Bush League way and a slap in the face to some really good football coaches that you have no intention of hiring. You have no intention of hiring. And Andrew Luck, good for him. While it shocked the heck out of me, good for that kid. I'll tell you what, to be able to have the balls to pull the trigger and stay in school when there's $50 million sitting on the table, that's life's got to be pretty doggone good. Let's get out to Anthony in New York. Anthony, what's going on, my man? How are you?
Good, Sean. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful.
Just watching the snowfall outside again here in New York. Disgusting. But I love D-Man's call. It was a real good call about the Rooney Rule and everything. I kind of agree with him on all fronts.
Oh, I agree. It's always important to get, you get, a lot of times we don't get the perspective. Now, me being in sports, I've got the perspective from coaches that are African-American and from athletes and how they feel, black and white, and I know how I feel about it. I love the fact that you're trying to put people in position that deserve an opportunity. Mm-hmm. But I also know that, to all of a sudden have Tony Sperano under contract and to say you're just going to interview some guy that's African-American just to have him in so you can fulfill a rule, that's not what the letter of that wasn't the meaning of the rule.
Right.
Where we've gone and where we are now has been so much better, and it needs to get so much better. But there's also got to be real intent in your process of interviewing and hiring minorities. You better treat them the same way you would in an interview that you gave Jason Garrett his chance.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But that to me, when we knew that Jason Garrett was going to be it, really, did Jerry Jones really have an idea that he was going to bring in somebody? And it's not Jerry's fault. I'm talking about by the law. I mean, is there come a time, Anthony, where if you're an owner, should you have to interview a white guy or an African-American? Should you have to? Or should you interview who you think is the best candidate?
Well, that's what I was going to say. I think the Rooney Rule, when it was put in place, I think it served its purpose. It sent a message. It got things through. And if you look now in the NFL, basically the best guy is hired. Every once in a while we'll have a real head scratcher. But for the most part, I think the Rooney Rule has served its purpose. But my problem with it now and what you've said is, if I'm the Dallas Cowboys or if I'm the Carolina Panthers, and I bring in John Gruden or Bill Cowher, who else is as qualified as those two guys? Why should I have to bring in anybody?
And in truth, are you going to hire the receiver coach for a team that's never been a head coach when you're trying to change things around? You're offering, let's just say you're offering Cowher $8 million.
Right.
Are you going to turn around and whether the receiver coach is white, black, or indifferent, but I'm talking about under the Rooney Rule, are you really bringing in the receiver coach at some NFL team that's never had a head coaching job, and you're interviewing Cowher and Gruden, all of a sudden say, you know what, I think we'll hire him? No, you're bringing him in for one reason.
Exactly.
To fulfill the... It has to. I think the message is saying, you know what, we need to get more involved in not only in coaching, but there needs to be more minority hirings in executive front offices.
Right.
Love to see more minority owners. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It gets to a point, and I think there's no doubt that the rule, there was a reason for the rule and the right reason.
Right.
But I also know that rule can backfire in people's face. Now, if you give a guy the exact process to go through an interview and ask him the right questions and allow him to get on his resume that he was interviewed by the Dallas Cowboys, that's a great thing.
Yeah.
That's a great thing. But if you're just having him in because he's got black skin and you need to fulfill an interview, a Rooney Rule situation,
yeah,
that's not the meaning of this interview. That's not the meaning of this. And I think it can have a reverse effect where you're saying, are you out of your damn mind?
Right.
You're going to walk me down the hallway and interview me when you know damn well you have no interest in hiring me?
Yeah.
Jim Harbaugh was just walking through these office doors.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of it has to do with the owner and the general manager who's doing the interview. I love the fact that the Rooneys decided that the NFL put this in place, but I also know that there's got to be a way to make sure you do it professionally so it's not a slap in the face. And the truth is, if you had Jason Garrett on there and you knew all along you were going to hire him, I'm not sure you should have to go through the process of interviewing somebody else when you got an interim coach that you want hired. You know what I'm saying?
Right, exactly. Somebody like the Cowboys or, you know. Like,
sure.
Like, yeah,
sure.
To me, it's more of, like you said, it's more of a slap in the face to whatever minority candidate you're bringing in because you already know you don't have a chance. You know, and besides from being able to put it on your resume, there really isn't, you know, do I really want to take the plane trip there?
Yeah,
you know,
it's almost disrespect. It's almost, let's see, who can we call in here that's got the least chance to be the head coach
right,
where we can fulfill a rule? So what are you going to do, upgrade, give him a signing bonus for coming to an interview?
Yeah, exactly.
Give him a little side bonus saying, hey, thanks, you know we're going to hire Harbaugh, but we just want to make sure that you know. I mean, as the NFL knows that we're fulfilling the interview requirement. And to me, that's not the way that this rule was supposed to be was set up. I still don't understand that racism exists in sports. Maybe I'm naive and I don't get it. I don't know how you can shower next to a guy and locker next to a guy and still, you know, African American, white. I mean, hell, they know more about your life than your own family does.
Right.
And then all of a sudden say, well, I can't hire him. He's black. I can't hire him. We're in the SEC in college. We don't do that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's absurd to me how the race issue still exists. Like I said, you walk Susie Culver off the sidelines. If she's worthy of being my head coach, I could care less. I'll hire her.
As long as I'm
obviously going above and beyond and being a little facetious,
right.
But to me, and the irony of it, like in the NBA or football, the irony of it is that we have so many African Americans that are so great at their sport.
Right.
That it's almost like, well, why is it, I mean, well, why are we shocked when an African-American, you know what? I mean, good gracious. Well, I mean, people who say it, I mean, like I said, I could go through right now, if I named my top 10 candidates, if I was a general manager right now, Anthony.
Right.
I could tell you 6 or 7 of them would be African-American based on their success.
Right. Yeah.
And based on teammates I might have played with that are coaches. But it has absolutely nothing to do. You know, yeah, if I could get a guy like Bill Belichick, it would have absolutely nothing to do with the color of their skin. Could care less. Just like when I'm drafted a quarterback. You think I give a rat's ass if Andrew Luck's white, black, or Asian?
Nope.
Could care less.
Yeah.
And I don't need to preface it by saying he's an Asian quarterback. He's a black kicker. He's a white running back. Those things don't matter to me.
Right.
It's just like it shouldn't matter. So I love the idea what the NFL is trying to get to, and we ought to apply that rule to college football the same way.
Right.
But we got to make sure the people that are doing the interviewing, it's just like anything. You know, we could sit there and say, oh, it's not the religion, it's the people in the religion that make people give the religion a bad name. It's the same with this. It's not it's not the rule that's not right. It's the people and the way that they go about the approach, like what the Dolphins have done, an utter embarrassment, that becomes the problem. Oh, yeah, like it's supposed to be an afterthought. And there should not be an afterthought when you're interviewing guys when it's their livelihood. That's my point.
I wanted to say that with the whole college thing, if there's a sport that needed, you know, some sort of a Rooney Rule or something put in place, I think it's got to be the NCAA. But I think the problem with the whole NCAA thing is, you know, it might be the college president or the athletic director who brings these people in, but they know that the people who sponsor and, you know, all the graduates who send money back, they have the biggest say on who the coach of the program is.
Absolutely.
You know, they know that they hire someone that these people aren't going to like. That money's not going to come in like it was. And there's just so many people they have to please. You know, I just think,
no question.
I don't know how they would set something up to go ahead and do that, you know, because we all know it's all money-driven, you know. And
absolutely.
It's just, you know, you have so many people that are behind the scenes that will determine the next head coach of the football team, or else, you know what, I'm not going to write you that $50,000 check, you know, every month.
Absolutely. And you want to put a stop to it real quick? To the nonsense of who gets hired, all of a sudden all these big alum quit contributing your money and watch how quick. It's just like I always say, if you're tired of paying big ticket prices, we have the Great American Smoke Out and where everybody stops smoking for a day.
Right.
Then everybody just do yourself there. Don't show up to everybody in 16 cities. Don't show up to a Sunday game. Everybody just have the Great American Walkout and say you're not going to take buying a $7 hot dog anymore.
Yep.
And don't go, and watch how quickly the hot dog costs $3. It's
yep.
the same in college. If you're a big alumni and you're tired of it, do yourself a favor. Quit contributing for about a year.
Yeah.
And watch how quickly your say comes back in that you say, wait a minute, we don't want this guy, we want this guy, or at least we want to have a say in it. Mm-hmm. Damn, we're the ones who support it. And I'm not saying that some alumni who was in the journalism department deserves to hire the head coach, but, you know, they're big contributors. Like, for instance, in Maryland, you know who a huge contributor to that program is?
Who's that?
Blank is his last name. He's the guy who started Under Armour, former player of Maryland.
Ah, huge, that's why they wear the Under Armour.
Huge supporter.
Right.
I mean, he's an alumni.
Right.
Now, should he not have a say? And you think he could make an impact by saying, I don't think Under Armour's going to be a part of this anymore.
Yep.
Rest my case. And I could tell you this, that there's that Under Armour and their support,
mm-hmm.
there's a guy sitting down in Key West who is an unemployed college coach.
Yep.
That's exactly who they wanted to be as a head coach. That's just coming from me in my opinion. How's that?
Mm-hmm. I got
so
you.
There you have it. So you're exactly right. So this Rooney Rule, it matters, and we need it in college, and
yeah.
it's got to be the and they got to go about it in the right way because minorities deserve it. You know, minority white, it doesn't matter. We got to get to the point where the person understands who's doing the interviewing. We're looking for the best prospect, the person who's best suited for the program, white,
mm-hmm.
black, or any other color.
You're exactly right. And then I'll give you an upset for this weekend. And the more and more I think about it. The Packers were my sweetheart pick to go to the Super Bowl.
You and me both.
Now, the more and more I look at it, and Vic had a week to rest, I think the Eagles are going to win that game. I think the Eagles are going to win that game, and then the more and more I look at, you know, the matchups, and as much as it pains me to say it because I want the Jets out of the playoffs, I think the Jets are going to go to Indianapolis and win.
You think they got a feeling. Rex Ryan said about, and you know if the Jets win, you know where they're going to play, don't you?
Yes, I do.
They go to New England.
Yep.
And anybody out there who didn't see it, I love. A lot of people don't like Rex. I know. I think you know why Rex does half the things he does, to get a reaction.
Yes.
And ruffle people. Rex is the great antagonizer. You know what I'm
mm-hmm.
saying?
And I
can't blame him for it. I think it's funny as hell. That
mm-hmm.
being said, when he said that Manning, you know, the coaches have done a good job, but really, there's nobody like Manning, and he's right. There's nobody that's ever run an offense as anything like Manning, ever, and never really has been.
Mm-hmm.
And did you see his preparation's better? And when he said, well, Brady thinks his is, but that's more Belichick. You don't think Tom Brady's got to think about that locker room sitting on a little quote sitting on his locker if, in fact,
absolutely.
The Jets win?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I was I like Rex.
Yeah.
I like him, but he's, you know, there are some times where, you know, and you know what? He has nothing to lose because if he goes to New England, let's say they win this weekend, go to New England, get their ass kicked, everyone expected it, you know? But if
yep.
he wins, he looks like the great genius.
Oh, of course. It's the Joe Namath prediction, my man.
Yep, exactly.
We're going to guarantee a win. And you know what? Some think that Joe Namath's in the Hall of Fame because of the guarantee and that win because Joe's numbers don't require Hall of Fame. It was his impact on the game. You know what I'm saying?
His impact on
the game of football.
Mm-hmm.
So now you say Jets. Why Jets? Why 888-346-9144, folks? Why? Tell me why your gut feeling tells you the Jets. What in your mind says, you know, coming off Sanchez, why the Jets?
Well, my thing
hold that thought. I want more of it. And I want your insight on Andrew Luck. You're a smart guy. Would you have
yep.
done it? I want you to tell me about that. Fair enough?
Fair enough.
We'll come back. I know you're busy, but give me a few more minutes. We'll come back in 2 minutes and finish with Anthony. And get his take on why the Jets over the Colts. Be interesting to hear. We'll be right back. This is Voice America Sports. We're Unfiltered. Miami Dolphins, if I haven't mentioned it to you, you're as Bush League as it gets. No wonder you're not going to win a championship. And you'll be looking for a new head coach next year because you just peed in Tony Sperano's face, even though you've kept him as the head coach. Get a load of that one. We'll be right back.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
They need to bitch his ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
Spin It with Chuck Foreman has a spin on so much that's going on, it will be hard to fit it all into the promo. We'll talk about the weekend games, what to look forward to, hot topics in the news. Spin It Old School, which gives a back-in-the-day approach from Chuck. A no-spin zone, where Chuck gives an unbiased opinion and lets you do the same. Chuck will be taking us around town and around the world with news, happenings, and more. It's football, news, and happenings. Tune in for Spin It with Chuck Foreman, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Okay, sports fans, here's your opportunity to discuss football, America's favorite sport. On an annual basis, millions of people attend, watch, and listen to football, both pro and college. Ray Ellis Sports, an internet talk radio show, was developed with the fan in mind. Join host former Philadelphia Eagles and Cleveland Browns strong safety, Ray Ellis, on Voice America Sports every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific for exciting, interactive football discussions from the fans' perspective. Tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific to Ray Ellis Sports, right here on the Voice America Network, and let's talk football.
You already get the general sports headlines and discussion on TV and radio. Tune in to The Blueprint with Randall Gatewood. Yeah, we'll cover all the general big-name stuff, too, but we go beyond the typical sports radio show to bring you the details you don't get anywhere else. We'll talk about the inspirational stories and the little-known successes. If you want creativity, The Blueprint is the place to be. Tune in every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Get the inside scoop on the Georgia Bulldogs. Tune in to Keelan Johnson on College Football Game Day, on the radio, and every day on KeelanJohnson.com. On Keelan's Keeping It Real Radio, you can talk to Keelan and his former teammates about the Bulldogs, college football, and all things sports. Keelan's the go-to analyst for Bulldog football on pre- and post-game television on KeelanJohnson.com. And now, every week on the Voice America Sports Channel. Tune in every college game day for Keelan Johnson, Keeping It Real Radio. Saturdays at 11 a.m. Eastern and 8 a.m. Pacific.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury, unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSals@gmail.com. That's SeanSals@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Tiger Woods, guys, just to let you know, has ended his 13-year relationship with Golf Digest. They had a mutual agreement. I always wonder, do you really ever think these things are mutual? Let's be honest. Do you really? Tiger Woods, since all the nonsense has happened, has lost. He also lost Gillette, Gatorade, AT&T, and Accenture over the controversy that surrounded him. And all of them are going to stand in line if the guy gets hot again and wins again. And now Golf Digest, he's parted his ways when he was the main column guy for them, as far as their playing editor basically. And six sponsors: Nike, EA Sports, Upper Deck, Tag Heuer, the watches, NetJets, and TLC Laser Eye Centers have kept him. And obviously Augusta loves him because they've allowed him to put his name on the new, allowed you to play Augusta National now for the first time ever. They're allowing their name and their golf course to be put on a video game. Times are changing. Augusta wouldn't let you walk through there if you had $10 billion. But man alive, they're allowing a video game now, and you can play their golf course, although you're never going to get any closer than that. You get to play it. So I always wonder, are these things really mutual? Or did Golf Digest or Tiger Woods, either one of them, look and say, you know what, Tiger said, I've had enough of this. I'm tired of writing a column. I want to focus on my golf game. Or was it the other way around, that they're going in a different direction is Golf Digest? I always wonder about that. And it's, money involved too. Always is. I'm anxious to see what kind of a season Tiger Woods has, as we already obviously know that the golf season has started and is rolling right now in the first PGA Tour event of the year. Let's get back out to Anthony. Anthony, so back to this Jets-Colts thing.
Yep.
Earlier in the week, you kind of felt Colts, didn't you, a little bit?
Yeah, I was on the Colts.
Okay, so tell me why the switch and why the Jets are going to win.
All right, well, maybe I've been driven by the New York media a little bit, so I'm kind of...
Shocker.
Yeah, a little bit. But, and before I get to the jet pick, just so you know, yesterday after I got off the phone with you, I turned on the New York Sports Radio and I got in the car. And the first thing that was mentioned on the show was the host said, he goes, I want to know who the writer is that gave Brett Boone and B.J. Surhoff a vote for the Hall of Fame. They should be stripped. Right when I turned it on, I was like, wow, I was just talking about this.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah, the first thing the host said on the show, he wanted to know who the writers were.
Yep. So, well, he was listening to our show yesterday, my man.
He should be. All right, getting back to the whole jet thing. The more and more I looked at it, I said it wasn't so much. I think Peyton's going to put up his stats. He's going to put up his numbers. He's going to throw a few touchdowns. But I think where the Jets have improved from last year, and the fact that they're playing indoors, and Sanchez is a much better, you know, climate-controlled quarterback than he is playing outdoors.
No doubt.
I think if you look at last year's game and the way Sanchez, as a rookie, was able to move the ball down the field, use Dustin Keller, who's a matchup problem, you know, and I just think that the Jets are going to be able to, the Jets are a more potent offense than the Titans were last week, let's just say, for the Colts.
Oh, it's not even close.
Yeah,
no,
you know,
question.
I think the Jets are going to be able to put up points, keep the ball away. They're a very physical offensive line. They're going to be able to wear down the Colts. And even though the Colts have gotten better on defense, you know, I don't think this is not the same Colt team that we've seen. You look at who they beat to get into the playoffs. They weren't exactly stellar in any of those victories. You know, I think the Jets are going to come in. I think this is going to be a rather high-scoring game. I could see Sanchez throwing a couple of, you know, big throws, converting on third down. And I think that the Jets, this could be one of those 27-24, 31-27 games. I think the Jets are going to win this one.
And you know the philosophy for the Jets is going to be real simple. They're not going to get away from what they do on defense.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to the Colts are going to try to attack the inside of the field because knowing that Cromartie and Revis are on the outside,
right,
they're going to try to attack crossing routes on the inside of the field, and the Jets are going to turn around, and they'll mix up their blitzes. They're going to do everything they can not to let Peyton get settled in on all his checks and audibles, so
right,
he has to be thinking. But they're going to run the ball on offense.
Yep.
They're going to try to pound. They're going to try to shorten the game. Mm-hmm. They're going to try to be physical up front because the Colts, while his defense has gotten better,
yeah,
they're not based on physicality. They're based on quickness on artificial surface.
Yep.
And
yep,
so the Jets are not going to play east and west perimeter football. They're going to play pounded football, and then after they've run it, they're going to try to mix in the play action fake and take their deep shots down the field and hope that they can hit a couple of them. And, you know, it wouldn't shock me if Sanchez is 15 of 28 or
yeah,
15, you know, 17 of 31 or 14 of 27
mm-hmm,
for 197 yards and two touchdowns.
Yeah,
and then I don't think he's going to be 28-31, but
no.
I think what's going to happen if the Jets want to win this game, they're going to have to focus, you know, 65-35 run pass because that will shorten the game. Last thing you want to do with Manning is give him a bunch of three and outs and allow him to have the ball more because eventually he'll get you.
Yeah,
I think that's exactly right. And I'll make my prediction later, but I like the idea of it, and I get where you're coming from because if you're the Jets, you can completely shut down the outer perimeter of the Colts passing game with your
yep,
defense. Now the question is, can you play between the hash marks?
Mm-hmm.
And can you run the football at the pop of about 4 to 4.5 yards a carry
right,
to make sure that the Colts are in a chase? You want the Colts in a position to where you've beat them up so bad. And I think that one of the most overrated stats is time of possession in games. I really do.
Right.
When you're playing a team like Oregon, you could have the ball 40 minutes in Oregon 20.
Yes.
And they still beat you and they score 50 on you because they score so quick. I don't think the time of possession is a overrated stat in this game. I think it's going to matter because
yes,
in this game, the Colts, with all their injuries, are not as explosive enough now to
exactly,
score three touchdowns in 4 minutes on the perimeter throwing the ball like they used to. Now, Peyton will get his.
Right.
But that's the only way they're going to win is if Peyton gets his or be in the game.
Right. But like you just said, with all the injuries and the way Manning's had to play, if you look at his stats, and I don't look at stats that much, but if you look at his stats, he's one of those guys who now is like 17 of 20 for 100 yards. You know, it's checkdowns.
Yeah.
He uses Tammy a lot, you know, on crossing routes over the middle. And I think between Revis and Cromartie, that's going to neutralize. Reggie Wayne only stays on one side of the field. They don't like to move him around.
Never did with Marvin Harrison either. They like to keep him stationary.
Yep.
And line him up and let him in. Those guys are going to try to maul Reggie Wayne.
Exactly. So Revis is going to stick him. And then I look, you know, you look around. So I think, like I said, Manning's going to put up his numbers, but I don't think it's going to be as easy as it normally is. You know, He doesn't have – losing Blair White was huge for him. Not Blair White, I'm sorry, Austin Colley.
Yeah.
Blair White seems to, you know, once in a while will make a great play. Manning's yelling at him a lot, which means he's probably not running the correct routes.
Yeah, he's still mentally not where Manning wants him.
Yeah, exactly. So I just think this is one of those games where I think this is a very overrated Colt team, and I think I just think the Jets are a better team. You know,
I wonder in this game is if, you know, Revis obviously will line up where Reggie Wayne is, which will be
right
on one side, whatever, you know,
mm-hmm,
most of the game, if not the whole game.
Yes.
I'm wondering in this game, if you're Rex Ryan, if part of your changeup isn't to take your third corner,
yeah,
and put him on the outside,
mm-hmm,
and move Cromartie inside.
Yeah.
Or unless you think Cromartie can stick Wayne, and you decide to use Revis because he's more versatile than take one of those two corners, put them, and Revis is the best covered guy, so I keep him on Wayne, and move Cromartie on third down in certain situations in the spread, and allow Cromartie, because you know Manning, with the lack of perimeter outside speed now,
yes,
that they're going to try to work tight and work inside.
Mm-hmm.
What maybe you take Cromartie as your changeup pitch and stick him inside. Normally people put a third corner as their nickelback or a dimeback in when they go four corners and six DBs on their inside guys. That's normally the flow.
Yes.
But every now and again, if you're Rex Ryan and you know that the Colts are going to try to challenge inside, why wouldn't you take Revis from the outside and move him inside on the slot receiver?
Yeah.
To where you know damn well, or even at times when you got to put him on a tight end, or when they spread the offense and say, okay, we're going to put Cromartie on the inside guy where we know Manning wants to operate. We'll take a Wayne away outside, and if you're going to beat me, you're going to beat me. Throw into your third receiver on my third corner, and we'll see who's better.
Yeah, if I'm the Jets, I'm telling you, watching Peyton play, he seems to have a real comfort zone throwing at Jacob Tammy. I would do everything I could to take him out of the game and force him to throw to the perimeter.
That's
outside.
Exactly right.
I would put, even if you had to put Cromartie on a Tammy, you have to take away that little 5 to 8 yard crossing pattern over the middle. Force him to throw the ball towards the outside.
No doubt. And you do that and you make Peyton get to the point where he doesn't want to have to pound the outside lanes and work outside the numbers.
Right, exactly.
Because
yeah,
he doesn't have Marvin Harrison. He doesn't have guys that right now are capable of dominating outside the numbers. I'd do that in 2 seconds flat if I was a Jets. And it will not shock me if that's part of the changeup by the Jets defense at all.
Yeah.
Won't shock me. What about Andrew Luck, my man?
I
know you probably have a tremendous amount of respect. I don't know if it's the right decision or not, but you know what? It's the right decision if he thinks it is.
Yeah, it's one of those situations. It can go one of two ways. You know, some people say, like, right away I thought Jake Locker. Here's a guy, cost himself a lot of money, by going back
sure
to
did
school. But then you could also look at, Peyton Manning came back for his senior season also. So, it can go either way. I would have come out.
Me too.
Right now there's nobody close, But you know what? As long as he plays decent next year, he's still the number one pick next year.
He can have an average year as long as he stays. He have an average year and miss five games and still be the first pick of the draft.
Yeah.
Now, if Harbaugh stays and he has a monster year,
mm-hmm,
he'll win the Heisman Trophy and blah, 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 and go on and on. And now Stanford will put themselves in another position. Getting both those guys back instantly makes them a contender, and along with Oregon, the best team in the Pac-10.
Right.
I can't fault the kid. Now, if it was me, I graduated and I want a degree, I'm not so sure that I wouldn't have taken Stanford and told the team that drafted me that you got to pay for my, finish my education in the offseason. They said, no problem, dude.
Yeah.
And gone
exactly
back and done it. But you know what? Every individual has their own reasoning for doing it. And the truth is, Anthony,
mm-hmm,
some guys while he's a mature, great football player, maybe emotionally, he kind of likes strolling around Stanford's campus. There's the little things that actually become the big thing. I got a 19-year-old who's in college.
Right.
I know how much he loves that and being around. That's their life now. You know what
mm-hmm
I'm saying? They're on vacation and can't wait to get back to school. And I'm close with my kid, but he can't wait to go back in the next 10 days to
right
go back to Kansas and finish. So, and he's a sophomore, and I am, good gracious, these are the best times of his life.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, when you walk off Stanford campus, what happens? Now it's a business. Now you don't get the fun. Is your job is to wake up at 5:36 every morning, get to the complex and study, and you don't get to go out normally on a Wednesday or Thursday night because guess what?
Mm-hmm.
You can't be hanging around bars. You got to prepare at your job, and now people are looking at you different. You don't get that luxury of just kind of hanging around the dorms or your off-campus apartment, fat-catting with your buddies.
Right.
And oh, by the way, the weight of the world's on your Carolina Panthers' shoulders if you're their quarterback.
Exactly, yep.
And so, you know what? Hell, if you can delay, if you got the wherewithal and you're okay delaying it,
mm-hmm,
good for you. good for you. So while I probably would have gone being the first pick of the draft, you know, obviously he doesn't need the money.
Right.
I mean, that's what I mean. It's not like he's desperate. His dad's got a nice job, and obviously being in school and being a student and having a chance to come back. And I'm not so sure that this isn't going to make Harbaugh's decision easier to stay at Stanford, which will be one of the great upsets of all time.
Yeah,
Harbaugh.
Because
you never know if you're ever going to be this hot again. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You never know. You're listening to Voice America Sports, folks, by the way, and Sean Salisbury Unfiltered. I'm with Anthony Perrenio, who's always one of my great callers. We heard from D-Man earlier. Great takes today. But see, you never know when you're going to be this hot again. And if Harbaugh stays at Stanford, he's basically leaving about $4 million a year on the table. But
yeah,
if Jim can do the same thing Luck did, more power to two guys. You'd never see those two decisions by two guys on the same at the same school ever in your life.
No, but Harbaugh has a lot more to lose than Andrew Luck does.
Yeah, and isn't it true right now? Because you know what? Let's say Stanford falls out. Let's say Luck, you don't want anything to happen. Hurts a hamstring, misses six games, and they drop to 6-5 next year.
Mm-hmm.
Is he still the hottest commodity on the planet?
Yeah, no.
And you know what? When is the last time you've ever seen this? In the NFL, I guess, with Brady and Belichick. But we're two guys. Really, Harbaugh is the equivalent of the first pick of the draft as far as coaches go right now.
Yep.
And Luck is the quarterback, both on the same school, both possibly, unless the 49ers reach into their pocketbook and blow everybody away.
Right.
The possibility of actually both of those guys turning down that kind of money to stay, a tribute to Stanford, and really an unbelievable coup for the Stanford Cardinal to keep them.
Exactly. And who knows? Maybe next year at this time, Carolina's probably going to suck again. I mean, they could be in the same position again next year.
And they both can be looking at it like this. Damn, we're 12-1. We're going to be in national title contention. I got the Heisman Trophy winner. If you thought this year was good, get a load of 2011. That may be their philosophy, too. You know what? But while me and you may be different in making a decision, I sure as hell can't fault the guy for deciding to stay in school and doing what we all think a lot of guys should do.
Right.
And that's play an extra year. Good for him.
Who knows? I think maybe some of these NBA players should take a note from some of the NFL guys.
Yeah, I wish that they'd make the rule, and I know that they'd fight constitutionally. I wish they'd do like they do for college baseball players. You know, I wish you'd say you have to have, or like the college football players, have had to be in school minimum of 3 years. Like right now, like Matt Barkley, he can't leave.
Right, exactly.
As a true sophomore. If we're going to have NCAA rules, make it uniform it for all the sports.
Yeah.
Why can't we make it the same for basketball? Make the guys stay in school for minimum of 3 years, which is 2 years of playing and a redshirt year of 3 years. Why can't we do that too for them?
Right.
That's a good question. We'll continue that next week. That's something for a great topic. Anthony, have a great weekend, my man. I look forward to talking to you Monday to preview the national title game as well.
All right, we'll do, Sean. Have a good weekend.
Have a great one, buddy.
Anthony Perrenio,
great guest. D-Man, him. We got great people to call in here. This is Voice America Sports. We're unfiltered. Be a great rule to have, wouldn't it? Talk a little more about that when we come back. I got to break down my games for the weekend. I'm Sean Salisbury. We're unfiltered. We'll be right back.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Football and so much more is the focus of Planet Gridiron with Damian Anderson. Join the former Arizona Cardinals running back for a show that mixes, well, a little bit of everything. Damian brings to the program life experiences playing football, and we'll talk about his variety of successes both on and off the field. The goal is to provide you with a fun perspective on life, family, success, and, of course, football. Tune in to Planet Gridiron with Damian Anderson, Fridays at noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern time, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
You already get the general sports headlines and discussion on TV and radio. Tune in to The Blueprint with Randall Gatewood. Yeah, we'll cover all the general big name stuff too, but we go beyond the typical sports radio show to bring you the details you don't get anywhere else. We'll talk about the inspirational stories and the little known successes. If you want creativity, The Blueprint is the place to be. Tune in every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
It's more than a sports show. Tune in every Friday for End of the Bench with Tony Bowie. Tony knows and does it all. Whether it's sports, business, or politics, the discussion all comes to focus in one place. You'll hear from the personalities as well as the everyday people, each bringing their own perspective to the discussion. This is a weekly forum that you'll want to be a part of. End of the Bench with Tony Bowie airs live every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time. That's 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neill. He's at the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury, unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSals@gmail.com. That's SeanSals@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Get out to Beth calling in, who's a Colts fan here shortly. It says, love D-Man's take. This is from AC. Love D-Man's take on Tony Sperano. What it is about pro sports and the money that makes the grown men act like bitches and lose their nutsack. Tony and Donovan look pathetic. Rooney Donovan, meaning McNabb, when he didn't step up to Mike Shanahan. And Sperano, meaning he allowed somebody to walk in his office while he's under contract and be interviewed before he was fired. And now he's back as the coach. Man, I understand guys want to keep their jobs in this economy, but Sperano's better than that. The Rooney Rule is great, but like other affirmative action programs, it is a shame that it is needed just to create a fair playing field. The way organizations make a mockery of the rule is even more demeaning. Great take. Great, great take by my man AC. And he said, by the way, love NFL marketing on this issue. May forget that baseball was first to implement the policy. Yep, good point. AC makes a great point. Well, we're talking Colts, and I want to hit this subject in a second, and we'll hit it next week, too, in this making, if we have a rule for NC2A basketball, why don't we have the same rule for NC2A football? Another reason why the NC2A may be, well, not it is without question the biggest joke of a governing body on the planet, but Colts-Jets lining up in Indianapolis this weekend. Got to love Peyton Manning. I think he's one of the top quarterbacks of all time, top five now. But do they have enough weapons to deal with the Jets? Beth, an Indianapolis Colts fan, joins us here on Voice America Sports. Beth, welcome. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Sean. And how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. So you're a Colts fan.
I am.
You live in Indy?
Actually, I live in central Illinois. I'm in Bear Country, so it's a little dangerous around here wearing a Colts jersey.
I understand. And both teams are in the playoffs, so it's fair with a chance to get there. So what's your feeling on this weekend and why?
Well, my feeling is I believe they'll pull it out just because that's what I believe. You know, you believe in your team and you stand
yep.
behind them. And that having been said, watching them deal with all of the injuries and everything that we've been through this year has certainly been hard to watch. But I do recall the year that we went to the Super Bowl and we won, which was a year that we had to fight and claw to stay there. I mean, we weren't necessarily playing our best football that year.
Right.
So that gives me a lot of hope.
Let me ask you this, Beth, and obviously you're a fan and know, and you remember the Super Bowl year. I believe that was the year they played in Miami.
Yes.
And then it was played in the rain. I
yes.
was sitting in a coat and tie getting rained on and wondering why I'm talking about football in a coat and tie with it raining on me sideways, but they pulled it off. Do you think a season like this, where the team's been completely crushed with injuries this year, and their quarterback has had to almost not only stand up and quarterback, but babysit?
Right.
You know, you really, when you see him, it's almost, and people that have gone and watched him run practice, announcers have said that they've never seen anything like it.
Well,
it's a guy basically that coaches stand by and don't really say anything, and Manning's basically running practice as well. I mean, the burden that is put on this guy, and they got great coaching staff, don't
mm-hmm.
misunderstand, but they trust him so much that he's not only the quarterback, but he's the CEO, he's the water boy, he hands out towels. And he still has to make these plays and teach players while the game's going on how to make plays. Do you think this is the type of thing that makes a team with all these injuries draw closer and rally around each other? Or does it get to be the point where the burden is so great, it's like, damn, we're worn out. How do we extend this for three more weeks in the postseason?
Well, I think that's definitely a concern. And I heard you mention earlier in the show about the the fact that you can see Manning, or and it might have been one of your guests that mentioned, you can see him on the field, you know, yelling to players, and he's not able to snap the ball, you know, get the ball snapped in a playoff as fast as he used to because they're, you know, reorganizing, and you see people who are in the wrong place, and, he, you know, it's crazy.
Yep.
And I think that is a big burden for him and certainly a concern. And to manage that through the playoffs as you're going up against, you know, the best of the best is a worry.
But do you think, but also on the other side of it, I mean, you've been around, whether it's work or children or friends or what have you, is that sometimes all that crazy adversity, all that stuff can kind of sit back and you can say, man, this has been the most rewarding season of our career because of what we actually, because the expectations have fallen off for the Colts. You know this. I mean, at this time of year with the Colts in the playoffs, what are most of us saying normally? Oh, Peyton Manning, Colts, chance to win. Bob Sanders, win healthy. Dwight Freeney, chance to win a Super Bowl.
Yep.
This year we're saying, really, when you look at it, Seahawks underdogs, Kansas City Chiefs underdogs, and truth after that, you probably look to the Colts and say, with all their injuries, underdogs. You know what I'm saying?
And
of the
teams
that are going to have the most to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, there may be even some that think that the Colts are going to have to overcome more than the Chiefs to get there because of all the injuries. So you start thinking, this is the first time in I don't know how long the Colts have actually been, and I'm not just talking about underdog in the game point spread. I'm just talking about the way the national media and the way the fans look at it, that the Colts have almost become an afterthought because of the injuries. So that could actually be a rallying point for them where people just kind of looking by. If you're the Jets, how can you not start thinking New England Patriots next week as opposed to the Colts this week? You know, the human nature part of it.
Absolutely. And, you know, here again, just like the year that we went to the Super Bowl and actually won, there is that pulling together and the mentality of we're going to get it done no matter what. And I think, you know, I think about some of the injuries we watch happen on the field, some of the really scary ones like Austin Colley.
Right.
And you look at that, and as a fan, you know, in the stands watching that, it's horrifying. It puts the game in perspective, but at the same time, it just makes you want it that much more. And to do it for the guys.
Couldn't agree more. And I think it especially if you had a weaker quarterback, meaning a guy who wasn't as mentally tough as he is, I'm not so sure that they could overcome this. You know what I'm saying? A guy, I mean, it takes a Drew Brees, a Peyton Manning, a Tom Brady, not just because of their success and how good they are, but the fact that they've, you know, Brady overcome a knee injury. Peyton's been doing this forever. I mean, there's something to be said for these teams, and we saw the Saints do it when they ran through the Super Bowl last year. You know, going into the season, nobody thought they were going to the Super Bowl. People pick them to win the playoffs, but then they got to that point where it's, bam, rally behind the city and the rest of it. I'm not so sure that this isn't one of those things where the Colts, put it this way, if the Colts are in New England next weekend playing and giving the Patriots all they can handle, it won't shock me.
Yeah,
it will not shock me because I think it can be a rallying point. So give me a score, Beth. And
You want me to give you a score?
Yeah.
Let's see. One of my my Colts friends, we were talking about this in a chat line last night, and 31-17 Colts.
Ooh, nice. So you got him extending the lead. I like that.
Well, you know, I'm much like my Colts team in that as a fan, I'm actually in a contest on Facebook right now. And my biggest competitor is a Jets fan. And we're rallying here in the fourth quarter, and that's a lot of times what we do.
There you go. Well, and you know what? It sure makes it more interesting when you're in a little contest for a little bragging rights, too.
That's exactly right. So if anybody out there is on Facebook, if you could take it to the house and vote for Beth G., I'd appreciate it.
Take it to the house on Facebook for Beth G.?
Yes.
I like that. And Beth, you know where to find us, Monday through Friday at 9 Central to 11. We got ourselves a new football fan. And call in here if your team wins on Monday, or if not, please keep listening when you can and tell your friends and call in and brag about your Colts if they pull this one out.
I absolutely will. And thanks for the call, Sean.
Thank you so much for calling in, and good luck in the contest, Beth.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Right. Beth, Central Illinois, I believe she said, in Bears country, a major Colts fan, and she obviously knows her football big time. Talking about, and if you recall, the Colts had to rally around that year they won the Super Bowl. And I'm not so sure, as decimated as they are, now can they extend it for 3 weeks? But let me take you back, and I don't remember what year it was, when the Pittsburgh Steelers, as I've mentioned before, if you remember, they had to win the last five or six games to even make it in as a wild card, and then they rolled through the playoffs and won a Super Bowl. You remember everybody had them left for dead? There was times this year in that three-game stint where Peyton had thrown 11 interceptions and four of them returned for touchdowns, where the Colts were left for dead. The Jacksonville Jaguars were going to win the division. Remember that, folks? Well, when number 18's got the ball in his hand, not so fast, as our good guy Lee Corso would say. Not so fast, my friend. Peyton will have some, and he's coming off a monster game. And I believe the Jets are 1-5, or Rex 1-5, or who I guess since they played the Colts maybe. Peyton Manning's a beast, and sometimes if guys will step up their game, the key here is don't get caught if you're the Indianapolis Colts standing around watching number 18 play. Easy to do. I saw it happen with the Detroit Lions when we played Barry Sanders twice a year. What's that, five? I saw Barry Sanders, 10 times in my career? And that's 10 times way too many when you're playing against that guy. But what the Detroit Lions did many times, and a lot of times it worked for them, is they got caught gawking. It's like Mikey in the Life cereal commercial. Remember that old commercial? Well, let's get Mikey. He'll do it. He'll do anything. He'll eat it. It's the same thing there. When in doubt, oh, number 20, Barry Sanders, he'll make a play for us. So you get caught in, and we've seen it in basketball. We've seen it on championship, on teams that, oh, don't worry about it. Kobe will pull it out, or oh, don't worry about it. Michael Jordan's got the ball in his hand. And the burden can sometime, and while those guys pull through most of the time, if you're a Colts player, you don't want to get caught up in thinking, no big deal. 18 will take care of it. This is the time when 18 needs it. It's like when you're raising, your parents are raising you. Your parents are raising you your whole life as a kid. And they're lifting you up and hugging you and making sure you got a roof over your head. And then the roles reverse. Years on, where you get to the point where you want to take care of your parents. And the analogy is very simple. Peyton Manning's been doing it for so long. Maybe, just maybe, with these injuries, if you're a couple of these guys, Tanny and the rest, step up and say, you know what, number 18, we're going to make a play for you today. It's not just going to be you that has to carry us. The child's going to take care of the parent now. That's what the Colts need to do. Beth makes some great points. Great points. And good luck to her in her contest. I'll come back and make my picks in this weekend of football, wild card weekend, with Peyton Manning at the quarterback position. If he can get some help from his friends, the Jets shouldn't get too comfortable. I think it's going to be a hell of a football game. And a pretty interesting weekend, as the New England Patriots await the winner of the Jets. Or await the Jets if they can win. And will we again see Manning and Brady at some point during the playoffs? I'm Sean Salisbury, Unfiltered. We are coming back to finish. Well, we got two more to go. Shoot, I got time. We'll be right back, and thank Beth for the call. This is Voice America Sports. We're Unfiltered, making plays every day.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Sports.
Joe Cribbs, No Average Joe, is here for you, the fan, to hear about and discuss the week's top stories in the world of sports. We'll discuss not only the headliners, but you'll hear some of the smaller stories that don't usually make it on the sports wires today. It's a forum for the sports fan, hosted by Joe Cribbs, a three-time Pro Bowler with the Buffalo Bills. Joe is a 10-year pro football veteran, a former Southeastern Conference Most Valuable Player, and a member of the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame. Discuss the topics with Joe Cribbs, No Average Joe, Mondays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Network.
Never be satisfied. Let that be a lesson you take away from Double Time with Double D, featuring businessman and former NFL star Dave Duerson. We'll talk about the NFL with special focuses on the game itself, and Double D will take your calls and answer your emails live on the show. It's not Football 101, but rather an in-depth look in the locker room, on the field, away from the field, and opening up the mind of the player. The program will also feature positive messages, so tune in to Double Time with Double D, Thursdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Super Bowl champ Lionel Dalton is taking to the internet airwaves with his own brand of sports talk. You'll go inside the mind of the players and find out if blacklisting really happens, what their thoughts are on training camps, where the former NFL players are now, and why being drafted by the wrong NFL team can kill a promising player's career. Lionel will also cover what's up with the Baltimore Ravens. Tune in to Sports Talk with Lionel Dalton live every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
They need to bench his ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury, unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSals@gmail.com. That's SEANSALS at gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Voice America Sports, about 20, 25 minutes left. Make our wild card picks for the weekend. I'll also hit it. Can't blame Andrew Luck, folks. I know that's a damn lot of money. Trust me, I do. $50 million. Well, I guess we don't know how much because not a lot of us are looking at $50 mil. That's a boatload of cash for him to pass up to be the number one pick. But there's a lot of reasons that go into it. And that's what makes it great, is that he gets to make those decisions based on what he wants, not what you and I think is best for him, what he wants. And I can't fault a man for that. The Harbaugh saga continues. Will it be San Francisco, or does he go back to Stanford after this courting? A lot of toying going on. The Miami Dolphins are a fraud, okay? To do what they've done to Sperano, now they kept him, but to interview somebody while he's not even fired yet, and assistant coaches are thinking they got to clean out their office, and then they turn around and decide not to take Harbaugh, talk about an $8 million contract offer, which would be about $5 million more, $6 million more than Sperano makes, and then turn around and say, nah, I think we'll keep you. Like I said earlier, that's like being married, which I'm not, have been one time, good woman. But that's like being married. Everything's fine. Maybe you had a rough year financially, so you guys have disagreed a little bit. And then all of a sudden, everything's good. You think you've worked, you know, we're going through it. The end of the sea, a lot of, you know, people are talking, well, are they going to get divorced or not? But you're not divorced. And then all of a sudden, going out, bringing your girlfriend home and walking her into the master bedroom and saying, excuse me, honey, could you step aside, clean out your drawers for a few minutes? I'm going to ask this girl to marry me, and we'll get divorced. I don't know. I'll deal with your contract, our divorce later. By the way, could you also clear out the shower gels and stuff because this girl wants to get in there? And then turn around later that day or the next day and say, well, you know what, I don't think I like that girl anymore. She was too demanding. I'm going to stay married to you. So you can put your shower gels back in and the master bedroom's back to being yours. Pathetic that the Miami Dolphins would do that. And the truth is, I got a lot of respect for Tony Sperano. I have had. I think it's a bitch move by allowing him to do it. I do. Because all that sells Stephen Ross and the Miami Dolphins is, oh, no big deal. No big deal. Now, if this was all media speculation and Jim Harbaugh never once even talked to or met with the Miami Dolphins, and the media is just creating this, it's one thing. I'm not buying that part, though. But if, in fact, the Miami Dolphins did this, and Tony Sperano decides to go back because of it. If you're Tony Sperano, do you think that the organization now has any respect for you at all? Let's get out to Mike. Mike, what's going on?
Hey, my man, Sean. It's Cool Mike.
Hey, what's up, Cool? How you doing, buddy?
Nothing. I want to reiterate Beth. I told her to call. She's in this contest. She didn't tell you. She's already secured at least second place, and she won a $10,000 donation she gave to St. Jude's Research.
So it's really $10,000 donation for what kind of research?
If you finish in the top, I believe you each get a $10,000 sponsored by Procter & Gamble, and you get a $10,000 contribution to, I believe, a charity of your choice, something along these lines. But it's already been secured. She's donated $10,000 to St. Jude's Children's Research.
Oh, my gosh. Beth, that's even better than winning the contest or any sport at all. And congratulations to Beth. $10,000, she qualified for that to donate, and her charity of choice was Children's Hospital at St. Jude, which is, folks, they take people in that don't have any money or can't afford to pay and change kids' lives and save lives. So congratulations, and what a great gesture by Beth. And it's nice of you, Mike, to come out. I'm sure she's awful humble and didn't want to say anything about it, but what a difference she's making, and that's great. Not only is she a wise football lady, but obviously chose a great charity to donate her money.
Yeah, well, Sean, I have to agree 100% with you on what you're saying, which is a rarity for a Trojan. Usually don't make much sense.
Now, especially if you're a Notre Dame fan, right?
Yeah. Here's just your typical Michigan a-hole. Here's the owner of the team, and he makes a statement, I'm going to be on the sidelines. I'm not going to compete for him if Michigan is in the running. We knew Michigan was in the running long before Miami was talking about getting rid of Tony Sperano. Rich Rodriguez was not winning, of course.
Right.
So, and we know very well he was right behind the university's back, and he's donated big money. He donated $100 million to their business school, and they've renamed the University of Michigan Ross School of Business.
Right.
So this is just your typical go-behind-the-back University of Michigan. And, you know, I don't – either way, if he's at Stanford, if he's at Michigan, Notre Dame has to play him, and I don't really care. We got a good coach ourselves. But, I mean, this just really goes to show what kind of organization this U of M jerk has taken when he's purchased Miami. His partners are a couple of crazy rappers always singing about killing and whatever. But the bottom line is that he's on the sidelines there, and he went right behind the back of U of M, made this statement, yet he tried to pull Jim Harbaugh into his camp.
While he got a head coach under contract in the same offices.
Well, not just that, but he can also say nothing is wrong if you and I are competing, saying, look, Sean and Cool Mike, we're friends, but this is a business decision. I want Jim Harbaugh. I mean, but yet he just...
Yeah. Right. What he's doing, he can block, give that money, block Michigan, and end up blocking where neither team gets him, and Michigan doesn't get the guy they wanted originally in the first place.
Bingo. I mean,
hey, let me ask you this: who do you want as a Michigan coach?
You know, to be perfectly honest, I wish they would have kept Rich Rodriguez for another year, because we still can't beat him. But I mean, just watching Michigan and their obnoxious, arrogant demeanor and the way they lose, I love it. But Their thinking is this, Sean, which is so dumb. Bo just ruined a generation of good coaches by saying a Michigan man will coach a Michigan team. I mean, what the hell are you talking about?
Bo wasn't a Michigan man. He was an Ohio State guy.
That's exactly right. And so was Lloyd
Carr was not a Michigan guy.
Gary Moeller.
Got to Michigan.
Yeah, and I mean,
yep.
Just that kind of arrogance. You get the best coach, period.
You know, there's no doubt about it. It doesn't matter the color of their skin or if they're a Michigan guy or not, the best coach. Hey, look what SC did. Pete Carroll was nothing even close to a USC guy. But, boy, oh, boy, we now affiliate Pete Carroll as an SC guy after the dynasty he built there. You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying. And yet it's a perfect example is how many teams were losing to USC, one being Notre Dame, year in and year out, until Pete Carroll got there, who has nothing to do with the Trojan tradition, but be built upon that.
That's it. And all of what he did is he knew what the Trojan tradition was, and instead of trying to fight it, he added to it. And in Michigan, bottom line, I don't care if it's Gruden, could care less. I mean, yeah, it's not every day you get a guy like Harbaugh who played there, lived across the street there, and now you possibly want him as your head coach. But the truth of the matter is, I could care less if the guy played at Ohio State, coached at Michigan State, is Joe Paterno's best friend, and also, you know, and was on staff at Wisconsin, and then he becomes the Michigan coach. If he's the best candidate, you hire him. Matter of fact, those guys may even be better because they see what else goes on in the Big Ten and what's going on. So to me, you create. You know, you don't have to have a guy. I mean, Charlie Weiss went to Notre Dame, didn't play there. You saw what happened there. There's plenty of guys that went to school there and can't be, you know, went to school at their alma mater and can't be successful. And there's plenty of guys who didn't that can come in there and kick butt and do it. It's not every day that there's a Harbaugh available that you played there, or if you were Marcus Allen coaching at USC that played there. That doesn't happen very often. Bottom line, Mike, and you made the point, you've got to get the best candidate to help your team restore its tradition, Ohio State guy or Michigan guy or not.
That's right. How many times in your career as a player, whether at SC or in the NFL, did you were you under the guidance of a coach where you thought, this guy is going somewhere? Nobody knew who he was, not nobody, but he didn't have a big-name prestige. But, I mean, you knew this person knew what they were talking about. You could just see the dynamics to that coach that he was going to be the standard for a university someday as their leader.
Right, or an NFL team, or an assistant coach, a great quarterback. Oh, I played with a bunch of brilliant guys that went on, you know, that never played a down for another university or never played an NFL snap for another team, and all of a sudden now they become that guy. I mean, look, if Mike Singletary gets the Washington, I mean, how before, well, he was a 49ers coach. The 49ers and Bears had some unbelievable games when they were playing, but was Mike Singletary a San Francisco guy? No. Okay, so it didn't work out. Doesn't mean it couldn't work out if another, you know, Leslie Frazier was a Bear, and now he's trying to take the Vikings to prominence. It's all, that's the most overrated thing on the planet, that you have to be a guy from the university or an NFL team to be that guy. Not true, and it'll never be true.
Yeah, and you've heard nothing but good things from Bear people about Leslie Frazier.
Quest,
he was
no doubt about
a star, but a great team player.
I mean, and also has his players backs and will fix things. And, you know, you talk to a guy like Mike Ditka, who coached him during those great Bears years, and Mike loves Leslie. So Leslie got his opportunity. He's going to make the most of it. It's not at the Bears. It's at the Vikings. Now his goal is to beat the Bears' brains in every year, and for a team he actually played for. And it goes the same way with the university. Mike, thanks, my man. And I really appreciate you not only calling in, but letting us know about Beth and her $10,000 donation to St. Jude's for being at least finishing no worse than second for this contest. What a great donation, and what great football fans. And I appreciate all you folks there in Michigan and everything you guys do. Mike, thanks, buddy.
Sean, this is just the beginning. As soon as my friends get back in college, we're going to try to get you in all 50 states on a campus.
Hey, all 50 states, everybody listening, I'd love that, my man. I appreciate it.
All righty, buddy.
Thanks. Appreciate the support. Thanks to everybody who listens. We'll come back, make my picks. Get another dig in at the Dolphins, and we'll go about our way into the weekend for the wild card weekend. And then Monday we wake up, and man alive, do we have a monster game Monday. Monster game Monday night. Thanks to Mike. Thanks to Beth, obviously. You know what D-Man and Anthony bring to the table? We're growing this thing. We're unfiltered. We'll be right back. Voice America Sports.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Okay, sports fans, here's your opportunity to discuss football, America's favorite sport. On an annual basis, millions of people attend, watch, and listen to football, both pro and college. Ray Ellis Sports, an internet talk radio show, was developed with the fan in mind. Join host former Philadelphia Eagles and Cleveland Browns strong safety, Ray Ellis, on Voice America Sports every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific for exciting, interactive football discussions from the fans' perspective. Tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific to Ray Ellis Sports, right here on the Voice America Network. And let's talk football.
Spin It with Chuck Foreman has a spin on so much that's going on. It will be hard to fit it all into the promo. We'll talk about the weekend games, what to look forward to, hot topics in the news. Spin It Old School, which gives a back-in-the-day approach from Chuck. A no-spin zone where Chuck gives an unbiased opinion and lets you do the same. Chuck will be taking us around town and around the world with news, happenings, and more. It's football, news, and happenings. Tune in for Spin It with Chuck Foreman, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Channel. It's football, pop culture, and everything in between. Get ready for The Game Plan with Anthony Herron, a.k.a. Big Ant. Anthony has a background in college and professional football and brings the player, coach, and broadcaster perspective to this weekly roundup of the top sports news and events. Big Ant wants to hear from you, too. Tune in to The Game Plan with Anthony Herron every Tuesday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific. Perfect time on the Voice America Sports Channel. It's game time.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left.
To left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we
cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury, Unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144.
or send an email to SeanSalls@gmail.com. That's SeanSalls@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Finish it up. Another great 2 hours of Voice America Sports and Sean Salisbury Unfiltered. Getting the word out there. Thankful to all those who participated so far. Here we go with these four games in the wild card. And, you know, we hit the Seahawks and Saints for the most part. I broke that down quite a bit this week. To me, and Hasselbeck's going to start, which is a wise move. You get a guy who's been there before and understands the grind. And then I like the move of starting Matt in the game. And he's better than Charlie. Gives you a better chance to win. And that's the bottom line. It's not paying. This may be Matt's last game as a Seattle Seahawk. I don't see the career extending much more. And, you know, if he's healthy, he can go be a starter at one of these other places. You know, we hear about McNabb changing teams. Maybe there's a spot for McNabb, I mean, a guy like Hasselbeck in San Francisco to hold it down if, in fact, you know, they get rid of Alex Smith or they're not going to go in that direction with Troy Smith or whoever the coach is. We'll see what the love for Matt Hasselbeck is. And, you know, if he goes on a run, maybe the Seahawks sign him back. Who knows? But wise move. But to me, the only way that the Seahawks win this football game is if the Saints play a bad game. You know, it's on the road. It's in Seattle, which is absurd anyway. But the Seahawks have unbelievable fans. The 12th man will be loud, and they'll be rocking. But it still comes down, and unfortunately, the 12th man doesn't get to make a play, make a tackle, make a throw. I fully believe that the Saints will win the game. They're beat up on offense a little bit, too. But they still have enough weapons, and Drew Brees is so accurate. The Hawks got to hope for bad raining sideways, brutal weather. Hope the Seahawks, the Saints got to beat themselves to lose the game. I guess that's as simple as I can put it. Because the Seahawks are not good enough to beat the Saints if they're both playing good football. You're just not. The 12th man and those fans in Seattle will be awesome. But they don't get to drop back and throw a pass. I'll take the Saints. And if it goes, and if the Saints do win, it won't be one of those win by a field goal in the end. I mean, the Seahawks, in their 9 losses, have lost by 15 points or more in every single game in their 9 losses. That's astounding. And they're still in the playoffs at 7-9. The other NFC game, this is a very brutal pick for me. Hard, because Mike Vick got some rest, should have fresh legs, says he's 100% healthy. Nobody at this stage of the season is 100% healthy if they've been playing because they're still beat up and tired. But they've time off. Andy Reid's a master at games like this. And basically, you know, even though it wasn't a bye week for them, they got enough players that it kind of was a bye week. And Andy's a master coming out of bye weeks. They only started, I think, 2 or 3 starters last week against Dallas. So they basically, it is a bye week as their players rested. Andy's a master at this. This is a hell of a football team. They've got more all-around weapons than the Packers do because of the running game with LeSean McCoy. But I like the Packers' defense better. I think Aaron Rodgers is special. Mike Vick gets all the credit for being a two-way quarterback running and throwing. Aaron Rodgers ain't far behind. He's not the pure runner Mike is, but he is a definite threat on the perimeter, and he throws on the run as good as any quarterback in this league. And you know what? I got to go with who I picked at the beginning because there's a bunch of wafflers and a bunch of people who will change what they go with. They'll say, well, I can't do that. I'm changing now. I picked this team in August, but I can't pick them now. Of course, with all the injuries, you'd say Packers, no. Running game, no. But I think the Packers with Clay Matthews and their defense and Woodson and the rest of them, I think they got enough. I think they can actually go on the road and win. The bummer for me is I think these two teams could actually be playing in the NFC Championship game. But they're getting a first round, you know, the way the rules are set up, they're playing each other now. I'm going to take the Packers because I picked the Packers in August to go to the Super Bowl in the NFC. Whether it can happen or not, who knows? They're going to have to go on the road and be a wild card team, but it's happened before. But I'm going to take the Packers to go on the road and win, although Philadelphia scares me, obviously. Great coach, great quarterback. In the AFC, the Colts and the Jets we talked about is, you know, here's a Jets team that sometimes you don't know which Jets team's going to show up. How healthy will Sanchez be? How erratic will Sanchez be? You know, Mark's got explosive talent, but you just don't know week to week which guy you're going to get. So which one will you get? The constant for that team is you know they're going to blitz, and you know that they're going to run the football. The key here is that their blitzes and their pass coverage, they better be able to defend between the hash marks because the Colts are going to do everything they can to pound crossing routes. When you're playing man coverage, which the Jets like to play, So you may see him mix up a little bit of zone once in a while, but you don't get away from what's got you there, and that's their MO. Do not be surprised if you see the Colts run a lot of pick plays, a lot of crossing routes where the receivers are rubbing shoulders to run corners and safeties and linebackers into each other to get that 8, 7, 8, 9 yard completion and the run after the catch. You will see a team that tries to pound the inside lanes and get those seam routes down the middle, which Manning's a beast at throwing. The Jets are a better team. When you talk about the personnel, healthy personnel is what I mean. But you know what? In games like this, I always take the quarterback that's better. When it comes down to, okay, this defense is good, that team's hurt, but this team's wide receiver's better, that team's special team's better. When everything, when you go back down a checklist and it comes down to me that, you know, it could go either way, my final deciding process always comes down to the better quarterback most of the time. And Peyton Manning's the better quarterback and will be in charge of this thing. And indoors, on that weather, I mean, with no weather affecting it, and at home, and all the people saying that the Colts don't have a shot this year, I'm going to take Indianapolis. Another dangerous game. I'm not overly comfortable with this one. I'm picking Baltimore to go beat Kansas City. I'm going to pick the Ravens to go beat the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, here's what if you're Baltimore, what you must understand. Now, Baltimore's defense, good, but they're not the 2000 Baltimore Ravens. We've seen them bend quite a bit. Now, they haven't broken fully, but they've bent at times. They have great playmakers, great ball hawks, great leaders on that team. And when you look at the team, you say Ravens should go win. Kansas City, that Arrowhead's a very difficult place. It's going to be loud. They're going to have to use a lot of silent snap count. It's going to be rocking. Matt Cassel has had a very good underrated year. You're losing your offensive coordinator at the end of the season. Charlie's going on to Florida. There's a lot to play for. There is a lot to play for. Here's where the Baltimore Ravens must deal. Is it the special teams ability, home run hitter ability is what the Kansas City Chiefs have with Bo and with Jamal Charles. They've got to guard against the home run because this could very easily be a 17-13 game where the two Chiefs touchdowns are a special teams return or a third down and seven screen where McCluster takes it to the distance or Jamal Charles hits a full-on blitz on third down and four and gets to the secondary and runs it 60 yards for a touchdown. It can be that type of game. I will be shocked if this is a 37-31 game. I really will. But the thing, the Ravens, I like physical over finesse most of the time, and the Ravens are obviously a physical team with Nada and with Ray and with Ed Reed, and Flacco's got a chance now to take the same steps Aaron Rodgers took last year to being a superstar. Flacco's got a chance to make those strides. We know they like to run it with Ray Rice. We know, and their running game, we know they like to mix in the throw, and Bolden can be a threat. But the Baltimore Ravens, Flacco now has a chance to step up and prove that he's an elite quarterback. Is he or isn't he? This is a perfect opportunity for Joe to do that on the road in Kansas City in a loud environment with a chance to move on. I'm going to take the Ravens to win. But if you sleep on the Kansas City Chiefs, whether you're a fan or whether you're the Ravens themselves, the Chiefs will move on if the Baltimore Ravens turn it over two or three times. And the key in this also is don't let the Chiefs have the short field. When you play against the Baltimore defense, you get frustrated. They give you a couple three and outs, so as a quarterback, what it tends to happen is you say, I'm going to take more chances. And then, you know, you try to grind it out. The Baltimore Ravens bank on this, that they're going to ball hawk you and make a play, that you're going to be impatient enough to do something stupid and turn the ball over. Because most quarterbacks and most teams and coordinators do not have the patience to line up and go 70, 80 yards five times in a game and be patient enough to go 5 yards, 4 yards, 3 yards. 5 yards, 5 yards, 10 yards, 5 yards, 3 yards, 5 yards. They don't have the patience to do it. They get to a point where they want to say, okay, you know what, I'm tired of being patient, take a shot, and that's when Ed Reed intercepts the football. And the Ravens are counting on the fact that you will get impatient after a couple three and outs and decide you've got to try to break the game open. If you're the Chiefs, you don't try to manufacture, you allow that play to happen. You allow a missed tackle at the line of scrimmage on Jamal Charles and then his speed in the secondary to create the home run. You don't force the home run to happen. That's when home runs, it's like a doubles hitter or a home run hitter. They don't need to swing for the fence. All they need to do is put the ball in play, and those big home run hitters, the ball, the Pujols of the world, make contact, the ball will fly out. Chiefs have that ability to run a hitch route or a slant route and take it the distance. So you got to beat the Ravens at their own game. They want to play the patient, make you throw underneath and tackle you for a 7-yard gain on third and eight and make you punt. Be willing to do that. And it's okay once in a while for Castle to throw it out of bounds and punt. Where the Ravens feast is interceptions and turnovers and putting you in a bind. And that's not what you want to do if you're the Chiefs. A patient game. You watch this game and see if Matt Castle becomes impatient and they have a few three and outs and a force down the middle on a third and six instead of checking it down and let Jamaal Charles take it on a two-yard screen or a two-yard swing pass and make a guy miss and give you 8 yards for a first down. If I'm coordinating the Chiefs, I'll take my shots in the right situation, but my talent alone, I'll allow my players' talent to beat the Ravens in the open field. Speed against physicality. Speed kills, but physicality knock you in the mouth. First down will be important. If the Chiefs don't win on first down, 5 yards or more average, you chart it at home if you want. Chart it at home how many times they get 5 yards or more on first down. If it's not very good, Chiefs will lose. I'm taking the Ravens. Great stuff today. Great stuff. Beth, and congratulations. And, man, what a great get for Children's Hospital at St. Jude's. Awesome. Mike, thanks for calling in. Everybody listening, for the new listeners all over the country, Miami Dolphins, Bush League, to Harbaugh and Luck, good luck with your decision, no pun intended. Andrew Luck, great job by you. So Beth, Mike, Anthony, D, my man D-Man out in Arizona, great conversation today. Appreciate the insight on the Rooney Rule as well. You guys have a great weekend. Great weekend of football. We'll come back and break down the national title game on Monday. I still don't think we have a real national champion regardless. TCU deserves a shot at a playoff. Maybe Stanford does too, right? I'm Sean Salisbury. It's Voice America Sports. Bless you. Be safe. And we'll see you on Monday, folks. Thanks a lot. Thanks to Chad and everybody at Voice America.
Thanks for tuning in to Sean Salisbury Unfiltered. We hope you'll come back weekdays at 10 a.m. in the East, 7 a.m. in the West on the Voice America Sports Channel. Take care.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.